Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Sister Kay. I'm back in the studio here with our co-host, Sister Vanessa. And today we will be discussing episode number 5 called Beware of False Doctrines. This is from our Seers and Prophets series. And you, our friends, we're here to enter into this message. I wanted to say hello to my co-host, Sister Vanessa. Are you there today?
Yes, ma'am. I sure am. Glad to be in the house of Yah.
Hallelujah. We have been fighting to get here, right?
Oh, yes. It's been a battle. Most definitely.
And I want to apologize to you, our listeners and friends, who might have to catch the replay on the show, because for some reason our studio Blog Talk has basically rescheduled the show for a longer future time, which that is kind of unheard of. But however, you know, the Most High has always been faithful to his children, and he knows what he's called us to do, so we have been able to get right in on our show time. So I'm praying that you all will be able to tune in. If you can't tune in on our show, we encourage you to, you know, after we're gone off the air, we encourage you to replay the show, and to also, we encourage you to share the show and also click follow. One of the things about when you follow a show, my friends, you'll find out that you'll get that information in advance, so you will not miss out on any invites. So we just wanted to remind you of that here. And then I just wanted to really kind of talk briefly before we go right into the message, because I do want to give other people time to get in respectfully because of the miscommunication or issue with the network. But we're excited to still be here in spite of all that. And, you know, friends, look, I want you to listen here to me. I can see that the Lord is making an entrance slowly but surely, because it's time to expose those who have been robbing his own people from everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you are witnessing is the beginning of a great coming, my friends. When we see these people being outed and you'll see where I'm going with this. It says, you know, God is firing the false prophets, and many of them are still trying to fill their positions in the local churches, in the ministry, but they're going to have to shut doors down, because what you do not see in front of the camera, many of them are being afflicted and stricken by their own false doctrines. And we today are going to try to unfold some of those false doctrines, and we have a testimony of a clip that the Most High wanted me to insert into this lesson and discussion. So we are here to help you, our friends and listeners, understand what the Lord is saying in this day and time. Last week, quickly, we had, you know, the discussion based on, you know, the false prophets, false leaders. And, you know, and the Lord had really exposed a false teacher whose video is pretty much going viral right now. And I talked about it. I uploaded the clip, and I happened to come back on the air and look at, well, on YouTube, I was able to see that same clip moving forward now. And so a lot of times the Lord is trying to use certain attention, like, you know, trying to get the people's attention by exposing people, because he's saying, I'm closing the door, I'm firing these people, they are not my people. And he's warning the children of God now, you're going to have to make a decision who you will follow, you know. And so while we're here to bring this information to you. And like I said, last week we heard a false leader say God didn't care about who he makes rich. And then from his own wife, God embarrassed him by having her read the word correctly to him. She didn't even know that God had made her do a righteous indignation against him live on the air, on his YouTube. God will use people to expose. He will use the mouths of his innocent people to expose these unrighteous leaders in this day and time. And we're not going to stop there, because this topic is talking about the false doctrine, my friend. So I want you to stay tuned as we prepare up for the show a little bit more. And we are going to want to set our house rules before we take a break in music really quickly. So if you're here and you decide you want to come live on the air with us today, we're asking you to do a few things, because the Lord has spoke to me before we went live, and I believe that that's why we got attacked, okay? And this is what he said, you know. He says, do not come on the platform. This is his platform. This is his time. This is his word. And he doesn't want you coming here to try to embarrass and try to argue the word of God, you know. And he's also saying to many of you, is that out of respect, you know, this is what God is calling for in this day and time, is to respect him. You know, he knows if your heart is not with him, okay? But what you will not do is come to this platform and try to make a mockery or try to argue and defute the truth, because we are bringing you what the scriptures, what thus then the Lord is saying. So I just want to give you that warning, because he did speak to me and he reminded me twice. He said, I want you to remind them, don't come on here. Don't come to this platform trying to cause issues, because we are bringing only what is out there and available for us to see. And the Bible says, let those who have eyes see, and let those who have ears see as well. So I'm going to take this time right here before we get into the show, because I believe that the Lord wanted me to start using certain clips to help you identify not only my testimony and my sister's testimony, but this is what we're seeing globally. So I want you to stay tuned and listen to this statement here on Sin Force.
To take the human ingenuity of speech to communicate some type of divine clarion, awakening, beckoning call to any human being that can hear my voice. In this room, across that camera, and in cities across this nation and around the world. In this moment, when your churches are being desecrated, and the name of the Holy One is being mocked, let the boldness of your true prophets and cry aloud in this hour, even if it comes at the cost of persecution. I pray in 24, you will expose every false prophet.
Praise God and praise God. I'm so blessed to see what the Lord is trying to do in this hour amongst his people. And it has been given to us, this word, which we say that we live by, friends and listeners, is that we are not alone. And God has risen up, you know, his remnant of prophets and true seers.
Yes.
And they are coming out of their caves. And why I wanted to share this is because my sister and I have been praying for this. You know, this is one of the motivations why we were called back to the air. And what you heard, if you could hear it clearly, I just want to kind of go over it a little bit. This young man, he is a Israelite, man of God, and he believes in Yeshua HaMashiach, praise God. And he spoke to his congregation, letting them know that he came to church and he wasn't prepared. He said that he made the mistake throughout his lengthy week, you know, all kind of attacks were coming to his home. He was having all kind of problems. And when it came down to having preparation and preparing his message before his people so he can deliver the word of God, he wasn't prepared. So he said, I have to come clean, my friend. I have to come clean. I wasn't prepared. But he said, as I came to the church and I grabbed my word and I still seen, you know, different things that the Lord had showed him. One was a young man that was walking across the street, he said, and he was a very young man. And he said, you know, he stopped, even though he was running to the church, he still witnessed to him. And he said, he prayed, he said, you know what? I pray that God, one day, by the next year, if so, the Lord will bring this man into my church. And he said, you know, and that's where a lot of the leaders have failed. They're so busy trying to conduct business instead of say, souls, you know. And he said, you know, when he got to the church, he really had felt the need to just, you know, just to come clean with the people about him not being prepared and had a message for them. He said, but the Spirit of the Most High God that lives inside of him, he said, he always comes prepared, you know. And it was just such a move of God. You can feel it in his ministry. And I'm going to put him out there because I believe he's a man of God that people need to listen to. I'm not going to say I know a lot about him because I just learned of him. And his name is Anthony Mitchell. And so he can be found on YouTube, and he is you know, descendant. And I am so grateful that God shared that message with us. One other thing he brought out in his message was the Most High had called him to not have the message in series he was about to start on for that day. He wanted him to call out the church and the false prophets of this day and time and to let them know that the Most High, and he admitted, he said, I don't care if these eyes come for me, you know. He said, because I have to do what God has told me to do. He said, but I'm going to tell you, let the year 2024, let God expose them all one by one. And you know what, my friend? He is doing just that. And so we are on time, and that's what I wanted to say to our friends and listeners. Sister, you want to get in there for a second so you can share whatever God has placed on your heart in regards to this situation, this time that we're in right now, all this exposure that the Lord is doing.
I am just so grateful to see the fruits of our prayers from the years and years ago. And when you were talking about them getting fired, I could not believe you said that, because I remember me and Brother Charles, and this is when, you know, we were still out there, and this has been, I guess, about maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, and he exactly said that, those same words. He said, Yah is going to fire these people. These men who are lying, and we had a long conversation about that, you know, but yes, he said the same exact words. And, you know, the one thing about people, they're not going to be able to say that Dad didn't have mercy on them. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and Brother Charles were talking about this 5 or 6 years ago, okay? We're in 2024 right now, and you are proclaiming it again today. The brother on the station is talking about it. So I believe we are about to see a move. And I just truly remember, this is a famous pastor. And I remember when I was still in another state I was in. And I remember I had did a video on YouTube, and the Most High had told me that this guy was going to get sick with that COVID. Mm. And they were going to try to hide it. And so I told, you know, the people on my channel that. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But I didn't know that he was going to pass away. And so, yes, he's a very famous pastor. But, you know, he really didn't do anything for his community. I know for a fact I saw where he lived. He lived in a gated community where these multi-million dollar people, people were living. Because at the time my husband was working in a very upper-class bus company. These people were very, very wealthy in this area. And so, you know, one time I was doing Lyft. I think it was Postmates. And so I actually got to go inside there because, you know, you just can't go in because of security. And so I saw, you know, where this man, this pastor was living, you know. And this one other thing was a young lady at his church took her mother's deed to her house or something, and she gave it to this man. And the mother went
I've
and
heard
asked him back for it. Yes. And do you know he wouldn't give it back to her? Now, he knew that the daughter had stolen and everything, but he wouldn't give it back. But you know what? The Most High was through with him. He was through. See, he didn't know that COVID was going to take him out. But you know what? He told me to speak it out. I spoke it, and then not too long after that it happened. But guess what? Somebody had said what I said. They tried to hide it, but they couldn't do it.
They tried to hide it.
So this is the time. Yes. Yeah, they tried to hide it, because when you said they're getting sick and all these different things, that's why, Dad gives us time to repent. Even the wicked. He gave that man all that time to repent, to try to make, and it's not just enough to repent. He needed to make it right with the people in that community, that poor community, where he was living up in the Palace Verdes area. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And that's exactly.
Can say
praise God.
There. No.
Thank you. Praise God. I want you to, before we go into really the most of the message, I forgot and I want to go back. And I just want you to pray and bless our listeners and friends, because we are very clear that, you know, the enemy has been trying to attack the show. Okay. And, you know, there's going to be people who are going to listen to this, and, you know, and at one point, you know, their eyes are going to be open. You know, God's going to open their eyes to show them where they're at, who they're serving, why they have been called to hear this message, because the Most High wants us to know. You know, he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And you know what? We're going to go into some really good stuff today. And I was really wanting for many people to join in. But, you know, I see that this message had such great meaning. And, you know, I want to encourage those who go through this just really quickly. When you are being attacked greatly, that means it's something greatly need to be said, you know. And it's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear it and obey it. Okay, praise God. Can you pray for us before we go into the message all the way, sis?
I sure will. Thank you. Father, it is such a great honor and a privilege that you have carved out this time for us this day, all of our listeners, all of the precious souls that are listening, and all of the precious souls that will listen. Father, we once again ask you to forgive us for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Father, we come into your house with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Father, we are asking you, Father, to bless us, Father, that we leave not empty-handed, but full, so full that
praise
we will
God.
Have more than enough to
Hallelujah.
Share. We thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Yahweh, Tesavo Adonai, who is the commander of all heaven's armies.
Praise is to your name, for your love endures forever. Praise God. Thank you, sis. I really appreciate that. And I'm excited that we are able to deliver this message together because we have common knowledge of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this movement among the church for many years, you know? And so we're not just coming here about what, you know, we heard. And yes, we've seen videos and stuff, but we've experienced it, you know, right hand in front of us, you know? And we have been the victims in some cases behind these false heresies that have been moving among the church for a long time, you know. And so when we start seeing that God is allowing people to be exposed, and what I call it, fired, out fired, because you know what? It takes God to have to fire a person in front of everyone that they deceived. That's what I see, is that they're being fired, and the people who are sitting in those pews, after they see that their man or woman of God or whoever they call that person is being exposed, you are going to be accountable for not getting yourself up and getting out of there. And not only by not holding them accountable. That was one other thing. Mr. Mitchell, Pastor Mitchell, the guy that I let you guys hear, he spoke up. He said, you guys are guilty of not holding your own pastors responsible. The church is built up of the flock, you know. It makes, you know, it can be a good ministry, and it can have one or two members, but when they become really large in numbers, followers coming from all types of parts of the earth, coming to them, tuning into, that ministry is going to grow. But not only are they going to find one thing about this whole growth process, they must don't know, and I'm going to let my sister talk on this. They might don't know that when you get a large following, you're going to be responsible for all of those things.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be held accountable, and that's what the guy was saying. He said, you pastors don't understand. You're going to get the worst part of the judgment because you were proclaiming, you were bringing the word of God. You know, one thing you don't want to be caught doing is lying to God, putting his words in your mouth, and it's not real. It's not true. And so we are going to get more into that, but I want to let my sister go in because I want her to come in and out because, you know, we are present. We're happy to have her here today. So, sis, how do you feel about that?
Well, when I was spending some time with the Holy Spirit last night, the enemy did attack me greatly. He actually was through witchcraft and the sorceries and things that are going on, and especially in that neighborhood I live in, they were attacking me in my left hand, you know. Because, of course, I need my hands to write. You know what I mean? And
that's
so they were just heavily attacking me. So I knew then. I was like, oh, no, No, they don't want this message to come forth today. So when you said that, I already knew. You know, I already knew. But anyways, I want to share with you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in the faith out there, Romans, the 16th chapter, verses 17 through 18. And if you can turn there, if not, you can turn later. But it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissension." And dissensions, brothers and sisters, means an attempt on the enemy's part to divide the people of Yah by envy and misunderstanding. That this is one of the enemy's favorite tricks, brothers and sisters. And then it says, and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learn, and turn away from them. And so this is exactly what my sister's talking about. This is exactly what Brother Anthony's talking about. These people saying things that the Most High never said. And not only, let me add this, some of these people, he never called them. Now, some people got called, taken away by the money, but some of these people put themselves there. And so they're going to be in a worse position. And it says, for such men are slaves, not of the Messiah, but for their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting.
See?
Yes. I mean, it's right she said all this already, but I haven't written. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. When we're just, connected all together, we are one, Yisra. Mm-hmm. We are definitely one. Hallelujah.
We are. Praise God. And, you know, the thing is I want to share, too, is that you're bringing the Word of God, and that's what we're here about on 1040 Word. If I don't bring it, she's going to bring it. If she don't bring it, I'm going to bring it, because the Most High wants us to keep planting the seeds of His Word. It is His Word. And so what He was telling me, another thing that the church has fell short on is that, you know, I've always heard this, too, and I think this would be accurate, you know, is that, you know, it is a privilege to have a real relationship with Yahweh Adonai, with His Word, okay? Because, see, most of the church that I've attended, and I don't want, like I said, I'm not here to bash the church, because I know the people in the church are being misled, and they've been misled by the enemy, okay? Me and my sister are fully aware of that. We're not here to point the finger and to accuse someone, because somehow, some way, they went a different route. We always say that. You know, they might have been on the right path at some point, but somehow they got misled and just, you know, and strayed on a different path, you know. And so, and then some of them, and I want to be clear, because the Holy Spirit bring that, some of them, they never was on the right path, you know. They always had that in their heart to deceive people, just like we talked about last week. You know what? Simon the sorcerer. And I tell you, friends and listeners, I truly believe we're seeing a part of Simon's sorcery in the earth with these false doctrines, because that is really what he was trying to bring to the church and all the people. He wanted the sensation. He wanted the wow. He wanted the power and the glory for all of his magic. Let's just keep it real. His sorcery was bringing to the people. And he was trying to make himself appear that he had the power of Christ and that he was Christ. Okay? And so what God has showed me is that we have to be careful how we begin to start looking at these so-called leaders, because a lot of them have that same spirit of Simon on them, and they want to be perceived as the Christ. You know, they put on the robes, they wear all the attire and adore themselves with all the jewels, all the everything, so people can look to them as risen saviors, you know, as something great, because they hold a title, they've been given this title by, even most of the time is by their friends and peers, more likely than it's God, because in the church and how the movement came about was mainly because people were endorsing each other, you know, and they were going and saying, hey, you know, I want to bring this brother into the ministry because he spoke a word and I know he's prophetic. But how many times do we see they verify what they see, you know? Mm-hmm. I've seen people come in the church, you know, and only speak maybe a couple of words, and next week, man, they are leading a different whole ministry. They've been given a title, and I believe that that's just not proper order. What do you say about that, sis?
No, it's not. We are supposed to study to show ourselves approved, that a workman not meet, that we do not be ashamed of what we're saying, mm-hmm. you know. And I remember mm-hmm. a church I was at where it was a brother. He came into church, I kid you not. He was on the back row. He was back there crying. The next Sunday, he was in the middle of the row. The next Sunday, mm-hmm. he was up at the front, and the one after that, he was up there preaching. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? This guy just came into the church. And the mm-hmm. pastor was giving people titles and everything. And really, a lot of the people at the ministry didn't too much care mm-hmm. for him. Not that we didn't love him, but we didn't too much care mm-hmm. for him because he was, like, forceful. You know, the Bible mm-hmm. clearly tells us when a man is a man of the faith, that he is supposed to be mm-hmm. well-liked, well-favored, his family, mm-hmm. his children are supposed to be obedient, they're supposed yeah. to be mannerable.
That's what I'm saying.
And that, none of that was going on. None of it.
Yeah.
Just exactly what you said actually did happen. It did.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen it happen, you know, quite regular. Go yeah. ahead.
Oh, yeah, and then I was just going to add out here. Mm-hmm. It says, mm-hmm. in other parts of the New Testament, false prophets are spoken of as deceitful spirits, just like you said, mm-hmm. who advocate mm-hmm. doctrines of demons. And if you go to 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, and as those who will secretly introduce destructive heresy. Now, these are heresies mm-hmm. are greedy teachers who will exploit you with stories they made mm-hmm. up. And then doctrine mm-hmm. is a set of beliefs. So I saw a video on YouTube where this guy actually had his congregation eating grass, you know, and there was other little things going on there that was just terrible, you know. But there's nothing in the scriptures about that. Nothing.
There's nothing in the scriptures about that foolishness. Yeah, you're right. No, you're so right.
No.
Yeah.
No one's reading the
word.
No one knows, and they teach you. And another one thing is, now I will say the teacher, our pastor who was teaching us, he did encourage us to study. We had Bible studies through the week and all those different things like that. You got to study for yourself, just like our mama used to tell me and my sisters. You got to get mm-hmm. to know him for yourself. You cannot trust mm-hmm. somebody you don't know. And it's a scripture in the Tanakh that says that pastors are supposed to be watching over our souls. So,
they're
not in trouble, they're in double trouble.
Yep, that is so true, because that's really what a shepherd does. He watches over the flock, you know.
And so,
you know, the Most High began to show me that you're right about everything that you're saying. I know that you've studied. I know that you're a doer of the Word of God, you know. And so you have to understand, friends and listeners, is that even if you do study sometime, they will kick you out because you know the Word of God. I remember that there was times too, you know, me following, you know, Christianity, secular realm, I was in the Word, you know. I would say some things I was being misled because, you know, by example, I would say, and I'm not going to blame it all on them, but I'm going to give them their part, is that they would read the scriptures, but they would not read the complete scripture. And that's where God began to deal with me early on, is that I was hearing partial of the word. And so this is where their false doctrine was built on. We're going to give them just enough so they can say they heard the word. But the other half is going to be about our agenda, okay? And so when I read, I want to go over to Matthew 24:23, and it says, Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and sheep great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And, you know, we talked about that, you and I, over the years, you know, a lot of the stuff that's been going on, even the elect, God is looking out for, because it does this, if it were possible. It didn't say it was possible. He says, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so that's what you're seeing, friends and listeners, now, is God is raising the elect, because the elect is the ones that he pulled out of the church, I believe. You know, the elect is the ones who are getting on YouTube, getting on platforms, and they're saying, you know, no, this is not right. We have to do something about this. You know, the Most High is not pleased with this behavior in the church, and the church is still either lukewarm or they're slumbering in their sleep. Okay, and so at the end of the day, you know, God will raise up his prophets, his seers and his prophets, and those who he loves that will speak the word of indignation against the church at some point because they need to know that God is not happy with their behavior. And then when that doesn't work, he just fully rolls in with exposing and firing everybody, you know. And don't for 1 minute believe that my words of saying fired is not right, because if you go back to Samuel, he was fired. He was fired. Right, God seen it in himself. He said, you know, I really regret that I let you make him the king. Because God makes us who we are. But he said, I regret, and I don't want to misquote it, that I made him king. That's what he said. So he told him. He told the other guy to let him know he's fired. Okay? Let him know. I'm cutting him off today. Okay? No more will you be sitting up here doing whatever you want to do. Okay? Because I run the show. Okay, and so this is where we have to become more of a listener to what is the movement now is going on in the church, my friend. And so, you know, I'm so grateful that God brought this part out, because it's so funny, you know. I, too, had a busy week. I have been working on a lot of paperwork from our business, and I got down to the end of the week, and I was like, oh, I haven't did the message, and, you know, I haven't really did anything. I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to be honest. I felt like Pastor Mitchell. I literally had went and started pulling out my notes and what I wanted to talk about, and God changed it all. He said, no, that's not what I want. He woke me up, and he showed me this young man that I'm getting ready to go into his clips. And I just woke up and I looked at the YouTube. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to keep it real. I looked up and the guy was on the YouTube and he had false doctrine. And I said, oh, my God, that's it. That's it. And so there's it's some really good stuff in this message I want you guys to gravitate from. But I do want to share the young man that introduced it, his video, by me clicking on and being obedient, clicking on to his video is what led me to Mitchell's video, okay? But I want us to hear his testimony, and I broke it up in little parts because I didn't want to take up so much time, but and I wanted to give myself and my co-host a chance to be able to expound on what we're hearing as we go through the clips. And if you are here and you want to come in and to share too, that's fine. But right now we're going to start listening to those clips, okay? So I want to start really by going down the line, and I tried to set it up, you know, one session at a time, because I really want us to hear this young man's testimony. And again, just for the sake of people's identity, you know, I will share with you his ministry, but I don't know him, and I'm just going based on what I heard, okay? And what I heard, it sounded like he had a sincere cry for what he's seen in today's time. So I want you basically to understand that if you want more information about him and his ministry, I am going to leave his screen name or his channel's name so you can be able to reach out to him, okay? So let's start on the first clip.
I started to hear her thoughts and her doctrine and her beliefs. I noticed how vastly different they were from the ones that I grew up hearing. And there was so much more about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, and all the things I knew and heard. But I guess to me, the grace of God was very limited. You know, he was a quick-tempered God. He was always ready to strike me down and beat me over the head. And again, this could go back to, you know, how me and my teen years was with my dad, and we didn't get along because I was rebellious and I was out of line. I started to hear her thoughts and her doctrine and her beliefs. I noticed how vastly different they were from the ones that I grew up hearing, and there was so much more about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, and all the things I knew and heard. But I guess to me, the grace of God was very limited. You know, he was a quick-tempered God. He was always ready to strike me down and beat me over the head. And again, this could go back to, you know, how me and my teen years was with my dad, and we didn't get along because I was rebellious and I was out of line.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, I went on and played it again because I think that the sound is a little low. Are you able to hear it, sister?
No, I didn't really hear it really well. He's saying something about his father.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to go over it because I think the sound is kind of low on the speaker in the studio, which I'm going to have to look into that for our next session. But I will go in and share, and then we can go back off what I can hear. Literally what he was saying, he was just trying to explain, starting off his testimony, how he became a part of a local church through a girl that he had met who was I want to say she was a praise worshiper leader. And so he had liked her. And so he had left his church where he and his father, and then they had a ministry. His father and mother had started a ministry, but he was a child pretty much like the prodigal son. You know, he had been raised very strict and close-knit and to the word of God, but at some point he became rebellious because he had a bad relationship with his father. So he went out and started going and doing his thing, and he met a lady, a young girl, and him and her, she had been going to this local church. And so from there, their relationship started to bloom a little bit, but it hadn't took its full course. So she did introduce him to the church, and by then he had gotten on a lot of things. He had started doing drugs and alcohol, and you know, he was in out there, you know. And so he was saying that, you know, when he got into her church, he seen, you know, the power of God there, but at the same time, you know, he knew something wasn't fully right. He witnessed things, you know, God, you know, blessing, like we just said, you know, the false prophets will come and they will show what signs and wonders, right? And so but he knew, and he grew up, he stated, he grew up on, you know, the grace of God and all of these different parts. But he said, you know, and he always kind of thought that the Lord was hard on him. So that was some of the reason why he too. And, you know, I can honestly say I've heard that. And I used to think that too a little bit, you know, not intentionally to say that I didn't respect God, but it was just how you perceive him until you get into a relationship with him. Because you're looking at your life as always being a life of correction more than it's a praise life, you know? You know? So you're kind of like, you know, feeling like, you know, do God really see me is he really happy with me or do he not like me? But like he said, from his end, all he can see that he was always using a tough rim with him and, you know, fisting him. And he was like, you know, he didn't feel really, like he said, really like God really cared, you know, in his eyes. And so he ended up in a ministry, and that's where we're going to go to part two. But before we go into there, I just wanted to see what you have to say about that, sis.
I can understand what he's talking about because even though we did grow up in a Yah-fearing home, Mom, you know, introduced us to our first love and everything like that, at the time, I thought Mom was really being too strict, you know. Like, there's a lot of things she just didn't let me do, you know. But later on, I was grateful that she didn't let me do everything I wanted to do, you know. And at the time, you know, that's one day I think I mentioned this on one of the podcasts already, but I was very upset with the Most High, and I was asking him why he's not doing this, why he's not doing that. You know, I was just letting in on him, right? But and so then that's when I had that vision that day about all these people running from something. Whatever is going to happen in the future, it's going to be apocalyptic for sure. And then he was letting me, you know, when I look back on that, he was letting me know, I can hear you. He's like, he was telling me, he's like, I'm listening to you, I can hear you, and I do love you, and I do care about you, you know, and whatnot. But at the time, I did not understand, and that's where a lot of us kind of got scattered and lost along the way in our lives. But, you know, thank goodness for the good shepherd that he reeled us back in. Because, you know, the enemy, he came in our lives.
God.
And he sent these wicked people. And some of them were lost and hurt, too. You know what I'm saying? They were just regurgitating what they were going through. I'm not even going to try to blame all them, you know. But he sent those people in our lives to bring confusion, give us another view of the Creator and what he really is. But he is a very loving Abba. He is very, very merciful.
I'm telling you,
the Most High is merciful. That's why I keep saying people are not going to be able to have no excuse, no excuse at all. You know, and I just want to share this one last thing. This guy, when we lived in this other state, he didn't like me. He just didn't like me. He just didn't like me because I was a Hebrew, you know. And he was a Jewish man, but he was our landowner, you know. And so when I would try to talk to him, he'd start going off on me and stuff like that. So one day, Abba said, don't say nothing else to him. I'm going to deal with him. So I said, okay. So every time I seen him, I didn't say nothing. You know, I'd speak or whatever, but that was it. So one day I was laying in the back in the garage because it was a garage in the back of where we lived, and I was laying on this mat with my little baby dog when, you know, she was still living. And so I was laying down there, and I was so out of it. I mean, they was using witchcraft on me so heavily there, I didn't think I was going to make it. But this guy had the audacity when they came back there, and he had something in his hand, and he threw it in our trash can. And my dog, she perceived that he was doing something evil. And I perceived he was doing something evil, too. He was trying to kill me. He was actually trying to kill me. So, you know, he didn't do it. He wasn't able to do it. But I felt that black magic. I felt that witchcraft. And so I told him, I said, that guy, I said, no, I didn't deserve that. I said, you know, he's just going off here, you know. But anyways, years later, after we left, and I might have mentioned this to you already, my husband, sometimes he just calls him, you know, every now and then again or whatever. But guess what? His wife died. Now, he tried to kill me, but the Most High killed his wife. So why am I bringing that up? Because people don't understand this fully yet. We all will reap what we sow if we don't repent. Now, I think Shaul,
who they call
Paul, he said in the scriptures that we don't even – no, it was King David. King David said we don't even get punished to what we really deserve. You know what I'm saying? If we got punished for what we really deserve, we probably wouldn't be talking right now, you know. So I just wanted to say that, you know, I learned through the years, even though I'm in my, you know, getting older now, I'm in my senior years, you know, I could just see how merciful and gracious the Creator is, and we just don't know it. So people that, and the reason why I'm bringing that up, because these people who have brought in these damnable heresies upon the Creator's people, his sheep, the Most High loves his sheep. He adores his sheep. And do they really believe that he's going to let them get away with this?
No.
They're in trouble. Just
no, he will not.
On him. He thought he could hurt me and get away with it. But guess what? About 4 years passed. The Most High gave him time to repent. But guess what? He didn't. And guess what? What he tried to do to me happened to him. So you're right. Mm-hmm. They're about to get fired. They're about to go through some major sicknesses, all kinds of stuff. Even some of the churches all over the world, they're being, they're burning up. They're catching on fire. Lightning strikes. Nobody knows how it's happening or anything. He's shutting them down. Already, he's shutting them down.
Praise God. Yes, you are so right. Because, you know, the Most High is coming back. Yeshua's coming back, people, you know. And he's not about to let these people ruin his appearance, his comeback, okay, because they're not his mouthpiece. And we talked about that in this series. And so a lot of these people have been walking around saying that thus said the Lord and, you know, God showed me and, you know, and all of that. And I get it. And he might have showed them in their eyes, but that if God sees that you're lying, he said he will deal with you. He said he will destroy you. So you don't want to be playing with a holy God like this, okay? You don't want to be caught putting your mouth on the Most High God, who is the Creator of all, who is in charge of all heaven's army. He has control to turn it all back on you. And it's shameful to see that these men of God did not read God's word when it came down to these kings, because that's what they were looked upon. It was the same dissension, you know, or same look. You know, the pastors, they try to rise up as kings because that's what these great men were back in those days. They were kings. They were leaders. They were priests. And so what the Most High was showing me is that he wants his people to be aware because he's trying to call the mass out of the church now, because I just told you.
Yeah.
Is that these leaders will not sit down. So he's going to have to get more brutal, and he's going to start coming and wiping people out in the church, honey. So you better figure it out while you have a chance. See, you know, for many years, people used to talk about us and say, hey, you know what? They've left the church. Don't follow them. They crazy. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
And, you know, God allowed them to do that for a while, for a season. And we were very dismayed.
Right.
We were very dismayed.
Right.
We were like, God, what are you doing here? This don't even line up with your word. I don't understand it. I need a break.
They ruined relationships we had.
We had times in our growth in Christ where it was delayed because we were so confused because we didn't understand what God was really doing. So a lot of God's people here, even in this day and time, that's why the seers and the prophets are hidden away, because they just tired. They're laid out. They're like, you know, God, the church ain't hearing from me and ain't hearing from you and ain't nobody making them. So we got to let this thing roll on out how it is. And so that's why I see it differently now. The Most High begin to show that he's showing his prophets and his servants, no, I did hear, like my sister said, what you said. I did hear all the words in your prayers. But see, it's on my time when I deal with people. It's not on our time, but it's on his time, thus said the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have to understand that the battle is not ours, but it's his, thus said the Lord. I'm going to try to go into the second clip, and if we don't hear, I'm going to take it off from my other sound clip to see if you guys can hear, but I'm going to try to take it out of the studio because it connects better, you guys. So the second clip, and we're still listening to the testimony of the young man who wants to show why he has a problem with these false doctrines.
Adapting back into the culture, and they start sinning against him, turning from him, and you have to pull them out of their mess again. over and over and over. This is what we do in the people as well, and we're still doing it. So
praise God. I'm going to get in there now and share. Are you there, sis? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Just wanted to know if you can hear me because we are having some little technical issues regarding the hearing, the voice part of it, the audio side. So just stay with us. But I wanted to, if you can hear me, I wanted to tap back in. What he was saying in that clip, and we're obviously having some technical difficulties, and I really wish that you could hear more of what he was saying. Were you able to hear any of that at all, sis?
No, I didn't hear it. Not really. No.
Okay. Okay. So let me go over that part, what he was saying. For the sake of time, he was just talking about how many times that, you know, in the body of Christ, you know, the true children of God, the Israelites, will run into problems and start making, you know, bad choices and serving other gods. And then God would usually get them out of trouble and then bring them back into their position. However, like he admits, that has happened all throughout the body of Christ for a long time. And he's right, because a lot of times in the Bible, as we follow through the different stories, is that the children of the Most High would become disobedient. And so they would find themselves serving these other gods who were then going to take the initiative to deceive them, okay? Because they wasn't following God. And so that's where he starts seeing in the church that he was at. He was like, I was seeing that it was a big church. It was a loving community, but people were not living for God. And then he goes into what he was really seeing amongst the leaders. And I'm just going to go in and just talk about it, because I don't want to play the tape if it's not going to be clear audio, which I know it was very clear on our end. But what he talked about is that he went to the church, and because he was raised up in a church, in his church where his father and his mother had, you know, started, they were more strict, and because they really instituted, you know, the principles of God in that church, you know. And so when he went to this other church, which had all these people and all this music and all this ministry, he said that he witnessed a lot of the people there were leaders, were pastors, were prophets, were evangelists, were bishops. They were in the church doing all the position and acting and doing their position, but they were living a separate life other than what they said they were supposed to be doing before the church.
Right.
And he had never seen that, because he didn't come from that. And so he said when he came in, even the praise worship leader, that's why I really wanted you guys to hear it, and I'm going to try to do it one more time, but I literally wanted you to hear it, because he was giving his testimony how that the lady that he had dated, he realized that they were all being taught a false doctrine, because the false doctrine was telling them it was okay to live like that by always saying things like, you know, God, you know, has mercy on us. God, you know, he knows we're sinners, you know. And see, those are the tricks that he was trying to set us up. And that's why I'm going to share his video with you guys, so I get you guys to go over there and see it yourself, is because he was trying to really give tips on how to see if you are a part of a cultic or a church or ministry that has a false doctrine, that is the problem there. And so what God showed me, why he connected me to this guy, I really see it now. It's because when I started really writing the message after he showed me what the topic was being, I didn't even know he was going to be talking about that in his video because I never was listening to it. But what he tied to me, which ties to him and tied to Mitchell, was that the doctrine, the false doctrine, is really the problem that locks the church into captivity. Because at the end of the day, the leaders, they're people. And that's how they try to get by. Oh, you know, I'm just a normal person. But it's the doctrine of God that they're trying, that they are not, they are misinterpreting on purpose.
Right.
So that they
on
can
purpose, yeah.
make people go into captivity based on what their beliefs and their opinions, how this should all play out for their benefit.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate, friends and listeners, that we can say that we've witnessed, many of you will listen to this, we'll be able to say, you know, they're right. You know, I fell for that same doctrine, you know. And so he was just really talking about his life and how he himself was not perfect. He was caught up in sin, but he had got delivered. And so he thought he was going into a ministry where he was going to be able to use his gifts. And he had gifts in ministry of music and prophesying. And he said, I would see people prophesying. It was like a big occultic room. I would see people prophesying. But the next minute, they over there having sex or going doing whatever they want. He said, how can you have that spirit of Yah in you where you can do all these prophecies, you know, prophesy, or you can teach a message like that, but you're not living right yourself? And he said it began to bother his spirit. It was really grieving the Holy Spirit while he was watching all these things. And he said, that's when I knew something was wrong. And it wasn't only the people, but it was the false doctrine that they had these people brainwashed, just like in the day of Simon, my friend. I told you, it is the same doctrine. It is the same device. Simon came in to brainwash the people because he wanted them to see him as the leader of the one who we talked about. That's how a leader, a false teacher, that is one of the first things they have to do. They have to brainwash the people to see him as the Christ. So then they will be able to follow everything that he says. So we're going to move into clip number 3. And this one, I'm hoping that we can get a better hear of it. I did try my best, but we'll go in and interpret if we must.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. He's right on the nose, everyone. He is right on the nose. And so praise God. I just wanted to speak on what he was saying, if you could hear me, because I have to move around with different devices to try to see if I can share it. So what he was talking about in that actual clip was after God had redeemed and brought the Israelites back into right standing, it was after the Jesus movement where God came back and set the house, the church back in order. However, the church has not always been. Can you hear me at this point?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You okay. And so it turned out where he was trying to make a statement how, and I wanted you guys to hear that, who could hear, is that he said that, you know, the church has always kind of been walking in this manner, you know, where it's the same pattern that will happen, and then God will reset things, and then he will bring things back in order, and that's kind of where we're at. We need a reset, okay? And then he said it became a problem when in the church and the vast number of people had started leaving, and it was really God's prophets. Over 4 million, it was record, that had started leaving the church, you know? And so we don't know who was amongst all of those 4 million, but if they found it necessary to leave the church, they must have interpreted something is wrong here in the church, I would say. How do you think? What do you think about that, sis?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened to me. when mm-hmm. I first was brought to this church, I do believe the Creator did bring me to that church, and they were a new church at the time, and we grew. And I grew too, you know. But mm-hmm. The Most High started opening up my eyes because now, you know, I was a seer, so that's what he was doing. And so I would mm-hmm. start asking them questions, you know, about certain things. And, you know, I mean, even one time one of the brothers said, wow, you know, that's a really good question, you know. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, yeah, you know, I can't remember what it was, but I started asking questions, right? And so what it mm-hmm. was is the Most High was breaking me out of the coma and the stupor and the spells I had been placed under through the music and all this other stuff they were doing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, people can, you know, we had a lot of food and friends and family days and all that kind of stuff. But that type of stuff right there, you know, when we didn't know, you know, people were witches in the church and they were fixing food and all this stuff. And so they were anesthetizing us, putting us to sleep. But anyways, basically, mm-hmm. It started getting bad. You know, people at the church started turning mm-hmm. against me. They wouldn't talk to me. I'd go to them and say, you know, is everything okay? Have I done anything to you? And they say, oh, no. You know, and then they talk, you know, they smile at me a couple of more Sundays, but then after that, they shut me off again. So finally, the Most High starts sending people to me from other churches telling me to leave that church. Mm-hmm. And they had me mm-hmm. so scared to leave because I thought, you know, what am I going to do? Because that's how they have you with those doctrines. It's a cult. See, they're mm-hmm. telling me that, you know, you have a calling, but yet it's still here. The Most High is calling me, but now you got a problem with it. So why do you have a problem
exactly.
with it? Even when he brought my husband to the church, they was mm-hmm. jealous of him. They was mad, upset, and I'm like, wait a minute. All these years I've been praying for this husband, and you've been praying. I thought you were glad that the Most High brought a man into my life to help me raise my children. But no, they weren't. They weren't who they said they were. They were just a form of righteousness, but denying the mm-hmm. power thereof. And eventually I left the church, but that's when I had told you I had to go back and apologize to them for leaving because they actually had the nerve to make accusations against me. But they didn't mm-hmm. want me there no more because I could see what they were doing, and they knew I was mm-hmm. waking up because of the questions mm-hmm. I was asking. They knew exactly who I was before I knew.
That's
the funny thing about it.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's very correct. I mean, that's accurate. The moment you, our friends, and to those who are just tuning in, I'm so sorry today. We are having some technical difficulties with our audio clip today, which I really wanted you to hear a clear sound or the message coming from the actual person. However, the Most High does nothing by mistake, and if he thinks that they're going to try to come against us, maybe he's allowing this, you know. But at the end of the day, and I don't think so, but I just have to throw it out there because we are using the audios to help build the message. And so what we're talking about today is the false doctrines, you know. And you know, the Lord said, you know, this according, like what my sister was saying, you know, I like when she said that part, and that happened to me too, and I think it happens to pretty much most people, is that when you're staying behind in a church and you know that something's not right, it's like God will send someone to come and confirm it, you know? And that happened to me too. I was in the church. I was working in the ministry, as I spoke before, and I seen people had moved on, but I wasn't really clear of why they moved on, and then God allowed them to come back for it, just like a day to visit. And they ran into me, and they said, dear sister, we don't know why you're still here. Okay, you know? And so it always made me realize that, you know, I knew something was wrong, but I wasn't really fully aware how to address it. And I think we are seeing that, too, amongst so many other people that are still maybe locked in the church. They want to go. They're not all of them just, you know, are blinded, but they just don't know where to go because they believe that religion is always built on a church and on people. And the Bible says we are supposed to have a relationship with him. So when the doctrine is not talked about having a relationship, because I didn't hear a lot of people preach on having a relationship with God. I did hear them say you have to have one. But there is things that people have to be really taught. They have to be given instructions and principles to understand how to really connect with the Most High God. And maybe that's perhaps why they did not was able to fulfill their call as well because they weren't in really real relationships with God, you know. And God showed me that in order for us to have a relationship with him, we have to find him through his word. A lot of people come and say, hey, you know, sis, how do you know that that's God? Because it's in his word and I'm following his word. And he says his word will protect him, will protect us. It is his final authority. And that means that whatever people say around you outside of it, it don't really, if you truly believe in God or the Most High, Yeshua, Yamashiach, you literally will not let someone disrupt your belief system because you now have a personal relationship with God yourself, and you know that he's going to hold you accountable for the things you do know and you don't know. See, there was a time that we didn't know. And that's why God's grace, like the young man, was working with us, you know? But the moment God began to show us, no, you know me, and I don't want you here, you know, then that's when you're in trouble, my friend. So I hope this message is helping you, those who are listening. We are in the studio talking about our topic today is beware of false doctrine. I'm going to move forward. It says, this season we are living in, don't be surprised because what you're witnessing, many these false preachers have been quoting the scriptures and promoting false doctrines, which it only allows them to reap the blessings that they have the nerve to be saying that God blessed them. Okay? Really in itself, they know that God didn't bless them. They know that they stole the money from God's people. And that's the sad thing about it, they keep getting up there in their pulpits or on their social media pages saying, bless, you know, send money to the ministry, do this for, you know, sake of this. And there's no receipt showing literally that they're showing people on a regular basis that they're sowing into all these other ministries and they're feeding the sick and hungry. It may be that some church, and I want to be corrected. I want to correct myself. Some churches might be doing that, but I'm not talking about those churches, okay?
Right.
So, and then it says also, too, is that many times you know, I've watched people, and I said this before, you know, they come and they start talking about the leaders, and they start bringing all the strong arguments against the leaders. But what the Most High said, he says, many of their followers and friends and family members will do what they call damage control. When you bring up some problems against someone, they're going to say, hey, you guys go out there and take care of them. Them people are going to work hard. They're going to get online. They're going to shut down media. They're going to shut down conversations. They're going to come after people because they know that that's who's paying their bread and butter as well, you know, who's financing their lifestyle as well.
Right,
and what God has said, the way to deal with these kind of exposures is not to deal with only the leaders. You have to deal with the doctrine. You have to expose the teachings and the false teachings and the doctrine. Because then the Most High said that no woman, no man, woman, boy, girl, child will be able to say they didn't know. See, that's how we deal with these kinds of things from a spiritual standpoint. So we've got to be very strategic in the way we talk and you know, approach these issues. We can't just go in taking down innocent people, because we have to understand that, you know, again, that's how they always left off the hook. You know, I'm just a human man. I made a mistake, and they go and repent, and then they're doing the same thing. And that's what we talked about last week. You know, one of the guys he had interviewed is a whole other YouTuber, which I honestly say he has strong input for the word as well. And he said, you know, how dare this leader repent in 2019 and come back in 2024 and say, okay, you know, I messed up again, and it was those people that told me I needed to get back on board, which is his people, his posse, his friends, okay? But at the end of the day, you know, again, like I said, we have to be more assertive, more aware, more able to discern when we see something. And when God show us something's not right, whether they're passing the plate around all day long or whatever it is that God is showing, you know, maybe the scriptures, they're misquoting them, not giving you the full scripture, making the word be more conducive to what they want to happen and see, then, you know, that's questionable. That's something we should be taking to the Lord and asking him in prayer. How should I deal with this? Where should I go? What do you see of this?
Right.
Because we're not supposed to be internalizing what we see and just talking about it, because then we can fall under judgment as being backbiters and gossipers. Okay, because that's what it is. You know, the church is going to start talking, people are going to start talking, and everybody's going to be speculating, but nobody's holding nobody accountable. The one thing I liked about one man said, if accountability is so important, because, see, the moment you say that I'm not coming back here, I'm not bringing my family and my friends here, we're going to leave, and you start walking out. I used to see that in the older churches. People would get mad and didn't like what they would just get up and walk out. You wouldn't see them people no more, okay? So, some people was walking out, that's how you put them out of business, I hate to say.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, this is a business for them.
Yep,
and even though
it.
They emotionally tied your heart to this gospel that you probably don't even know, because you probably don't read it all the time, you know what I'm saying? And this God that I believe you love, because he's such a good God, he's delivered you, and I'm not trying to make fun of your life. I felt the same way. He delivered me, but I didn't really know him through his word. That's the point I'm trying to make, okay? I didn't know him through his word, and it is a different relationship when God can take you through the scriptures and can teach you how he looks at life, and he can take things away that's been taught to you the wrong way, and he can add things to you so you can see the fullness of him and his glory. I'm going to go in and try to attempt one more, which is one more clip, and I think this one might be a little louder. Let's try to tie in so we can get ready to finish up this session.
Personally, this doctrine that was being preached was not the full gospel of Jesus. It was not the full Bible. It was not the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It wasn't the fullness of it. There was a huge lopsided emphasis on spiritual gifts, and if you were spiritual and you were operating in spiritual gifts, you had a crowd around you, and everybody thought you were great, and people would praise you. You know, people were writing books and all this stuff, and they were exalting these people, but they were actually behind the scenes living a life that would make a lot of us ashamed to see. So I laid down a few things that I noticed about this experience in my life, and it's important that we pray for these people. And this is important because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy, and he is absolutely a deceiver. I know for a fact if I would have died in that season of my life, I would be burning in hell today because I had no regard for sin. I did not fear the Lord. I had completely lost the fear of the Lord, and I just thought he was my buddy. I thought he didn't really care about anything I did as long as I was going to church and playing music and prophesying. Like, I wasn't trying to save souls or witness to people. I mean, I wasn't doing anything, but I was doing everything the world said to do. I talked like the world. I acted like the world. I did everything the world did, but I had Jesus. And I was so deceived, and so many people in that church and came out of that church was in the same boat. So I wrote down a couple things I want you to look for. If this is you and you know what I'm talking about, or you walked through this, or maybe you're currently in it, and I call it a false doctrine for a reason, and I'll get to that, but it exalts spiritual gifts over a life of holiness. Now, both are important, but obedience to Christ is paramount. He did not say, if you love me, prophesy. If you love me, speak in tongues. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now,
and that's very correct, my friend. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he made such an excellent point. I hope you were able to hear that part, is that it's paramount. You know, we're not supposed to be just going after the gifts of the Spirit, you know. We're supposed to be connected to the gift giver. And so the church does do, like I spoke earlier, you know, I've seen it, you know, and not all churches, so I want to be clear, so I don't want you down in the comments saying, you know, that's not how our church works, because I do understand there is a lot of good leaders out there, but that's not what we've seen over the years. You know, a lot of people were misled, they were abused by these false teachers and leaders, and they used doctrines to keep people in captivity by brainwashing them. And so even this young man, and his YouTube channel, is based on, I believe it's called Glass House TV. And so you can go over there and you can listen to the full breakdown of his message about the false doctrine. And what I began to see, you know, through God putting this message together is that, you know, a lot of people are going to be deceived because they don't know him. They don't understand who really Christ is and how literally the Most High works. And everything that he does mainly is through his word. You know, he does it right through his word. And I, too, had seen that last week when we brought the other message prior, episode 4, and when he talked about and he exposed it to the preacher on that clip, and I hope you go back and look at that one because I think you can hear. And he was showing that, you know, many of these preachers, they have misled his people because they are liars, okay? They are straight-up liars, okay? And they don't have the truth in them. So if you don't have the truth in you, how can you give the truth, you know?
Right,
and so,
exactly.
You know, listening to these false doctrines and being able to sit there and, you know, listen to the man, you know, talking about God, you know, he don't care about who you give wealth to. No, God does, because God knows that wealth can be used to bless the kingdom of Yah, okay? He wants you to take care of his sheep. You know, he wants you to be able to pasture the fields, to grow his kingdom up, you know. He wants you to bring holy men and women of God who will protect the church, because God loves the church, okay? He loved the church. That is where he set up his rock. He built his foundation up on the church. You know, he wanted people to know, this is who I am, you know. And so when we're walking into these different types of ministries, churches, temples, you know, modern day temples, or whatever you want to call it, you are going to see more people who are going to be in love with the men of God more than they're going to be in love with God himself.
Yeah, that's right. They already are.
And they are going to be disobedient to God's word. Even though sometimes those men and women of God are speaking, they're going to, like I said before, they're going to read a word, but it's going to only be a portion of the word. And you have to, and you're going to have to be right with God first so he can really reveal to you through his word if you're following a false prophet. See, you see what I'm saying? It's always through his word that he exposes people. Because that's where it's all been laid out. And like my sister was saying, you know, when we were in church, you know, yeah, they did say study. You can study. But I would go to Bible studies. We would study the words. And I remember this one time, this is how I knew the church was not right, okay, because we were in Bible study and they were talking about our pastor and another minister were talking about the word of God. And that minister, I've always kind of seen he had an arrogance against himself. You know, he kind of found he was very, very sharp. And I'm going to be honest, he was really a prankster more than anything because he admitted to me, I'm a prankster. I like to play. And again, I didn't identify that as Simon's tactic, you know. And so, and I thought that was so rude. And he even got mad at me because I had did this one statement I'm going to share. And so they were in Bible study and they were arguing over the word. And I just felt like, get your kids, get up and walk out. And I did that. I just felt let it. I got my kids together. I got up, I walked out and didn't say nothing. Man, everybody that was there, you think they didn't take notice to that? The next week they were calling me. Even that week they said, sister, God is in you. He corrected the pastor. The pastor said, you know, that is a young woman seeing us acting like that, and she knew what to do. See, we are not supposed to be arguing with these leaders because silence is very powerful. That's a very powerful tool in itself, you know. And so the Most High began to remind me that it is really the obedience that God looks at in the man's heart is how he will decide if he wants to bless someone. It's through the obedience. It's not so much, it's the sacrifice, but it's the obedience, okay? We are not taught in the church how to become obedient to Christ. He is absolutely the right. God has absolutely been right with the scriptures, okay, when it comes to being obedient. If you love me, child, you will obey my commandments. And then here's the other half, because we always hear that. If you love me, you obey my commandments. But they don't say this. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. The Holy Spirit is our helper, friend. We need the Holy Spirit because that helper is going to help shed the light on all this foolishness that we've been seeing. And that's how God was showing me. A lot of people in the church don't have the Holy Spirit in them. That's why they couldn't do what you did. They couldn't get up like you and your sister did and walk out. They couldn't do for me what I told them by scriptures to do. If I don't say it, it's not for me. The Holy Spirit revealed to me, obedience is the key, my friend. How to get God to favor you. Obedience will get you before many kings, just like Esther and her people. God saved her people because she was obedient. She did what he told her to do.
That is so true. That's right. That's right.
Every person in the Bible, if you go back to the scriptures, my friend, you will see it was all based on their obedience, how they began to see the manifestations of Christ through the Holy Spirit, if Christ had not already left the earth. Okay? Another point that the Lord showed me is that we don't give the Holy Spirit enough of credit.
No, they just don't. Honey.
We all
they
say,
just like, you
God
don't exist
showed
no more,
me.
Really, to be honest.
Yeah, we all say it. We've all said it. God showed me when it was really the Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Once
taking
you
credit,
can
robbery,
identify.
Robbery.
Mm-hmm. Once you can identify that we must obey the Holy Spirit, we will continue until we can identify that we must obey the Holy Spirit. We will continue to see all these false prophets deceive God's people. We have to learn that it's through God's word is how we have to get to the heart of him, okay? The Holy Spirit reveals the truth. He reveals the evilness, the wickedness. It's his
mm-hmm.
spirit in you
right.
that is going to reveal
right.
it against that person
uh-huh.
or that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And if that
right.
spirit is not in you, my friend, you are not going to be able to
right.
identify it. And that's
right, right.
why
mm-hmm.
many of people are perishing right now. They don't have the spirit of God, but they go to church.
Yes.
And they love their pastor.
Yes.
And they pay their tithes.
Yep.
But they don't live
mm-hmm.
right, just like that young man said. He watched
yep.
them go in and out of the church, prophesying,
mm-hmm.
preaching, teaching, but none of them were doing the will of God.
No,
and it grieved his spirit because he was like,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I can't get with this because this ain't even how I was brought up. This seemed like this is so
mm-hmm.
out of order. One of the parts in the clip you didn't hear, he said that he had got delivered, and by the time he went to that church, he went back into full-fledged sin.
Mm.
He went
wow.
back into sin. He was doing, he
mm.
said if he was doing it worse than what he was started because the false doctrine in the church, my
mm.
friend, was allowing him to sin and not feel any problem with it. And that's why a lot of people right now, and a lot of you guys
uh-huh.
are in churches, they're saying it's okay. It's okay to sin. It's okay. So when you hear things like, it's okay, God don't mind, this and that, and then the scriptures are saying, obey me, that's a contradiction of what God is saying in the word. And that should be an indication that the doctrine is not from God. It is a false doctrine that they're explaining to you, that they're telling you. Because from what we see in the word of God, God is always trying to correct us. As soon as the sheep just sway a little way, he's bringing that sheep back. He's trying
right.
to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to leave you out there in the field so you can do whatever
right.
you want because he knows you will harm
right.
your life or something
right,
will
right.
take your life. So
mm-hmm.
why would he be letting you do whatever you want and
mm-hmm.
telling you that you got grace and mercy on your side? Grace and mercy
mm-hmm.
is for us to repent of our sins and go and sin no more, hopefully, you know?
Right.
And
that's
if we
right.
do fall
right.
short
mm-hmm.
of it again, we can, if we're still alive after that, we can go back to the grace of God, go to the throne of Christ
right. mm-hmm.
to ask for repentance
right.
again. It is
right,
not
right.
displayed
mm-hmm.
and used for people to just sin freely and then just say, well, we,
right,
you know, we
right.
got grace. We got mercy over here sitting on the other side of grace, and we can still do this. And, you know, those who are walking in that type of ignorance, man, if they are like that man Pastor Mitchell said, if they are a leader, they're going to find themselves in the greater part of the judgment. When they go to hell, you know, because this is the Bible saying this, they're not going to have just one form of a judgment. It's going to be 10 times greater or whatever times greater God is going to make it be. So they need to get it together. And even though they're doing all this foolishness and just kind of moving forward, you know, God is still showing them grace. And that's why he said we still have to pray for them. We need to pray that they finally wake up and see for themselves that God don't want them to go to hell. But they got to repent, like my sister said. They have to repent, and they
right.
have to go
exactly.
and sin no more. They have to take accountability. When a man or woman or God have erred in judgment, they have to go before the congregation. They have to tell the problem. They have to confess it to their parishioners. They're not supposed to be just saying, you know, oh, you know, I'm just a human man, you know, I have troubles like you guys do. They always try to, you know, water the confession down instead of confessing, so that men and women will be able to get free too, because some of those same things they're doing, or they're going to confess, that's what they taught the people through the false doctrine.
Right.
So they have to confess it, because that's the only way that we become free, my friend, you know, is when we hear the confession. It begins to open our eyes. Me seeing that guy's testimony that I tried to share with you guys is because when I seen it, I was able to identify what I seen was right. Even though I know through the scriptures and I've read things, but it always comes together. Because we are all one part of the body, you know? We're all one, and we all come one with the body of Christ. And God uses the arms and the legs to connect, so it can help us be able to identify when we see trouble, when we see issues. We're supposed to be helping one another. Like my sister said, you know, we're supposed to be each other's eyes and ears sometimes when we're walking close to them, you know? And so we're not maybe able to talk to all the people in the church and all of the people that, you know, are in the communities, but God has established platforms now so people can still get the true word of God. Sis, did you want to get in there so you can say something shortly before we get out of here today?
Yes, I just wanted to also expound on, you know, some of the things that they're saying. And maybe some of our brothers and sisters have heard this before. You know, they say, you know, Yah does not judge, you know, and that's a joke. Because Psalms 37:28 says, for Yah loves judgment and forsaketh not his servants, they are preserved forever. And then that name it and claim it. There is no scripture in the Bible. I remember me and my sister, we used to go to these different churches. And we used to love, we love going to hearing the word. We just love Yah. You know, we just wanted to hear the word,
yeah,
you know. We got caught up into these prophets. And I'm not going to say the name or anything, but, man, some of them were really truly prophets. I remember that guy and his mother, you know. He was really sweet. But the mother, she was just lying. She was a liar, you know. And she was just getting people's money, you know. And then the other thing is, you know, live like the world to reach the world. You don't have to live like the world. No, we're supposed to be, you know, I've heard people say that Yeshua was walking around in a priestly robe. No, he wasn't. He was walking around like a regular man, and he wasn't looking like nobody else, okay? And that's how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be looking like nobody else, okay? We're supposed to be peculiar. You know, I know sometimes people look at me. You know, they looking at me like, why you ain't dressed like me? Why you ain't got no tattoos? Now, I'm not putting down on nobody that got tattoos, okay? Don't get me wrong, because I know some people have gotten saved or whatever. But that's the way they look at you now. You know what I'm saying? You know, they looking at us like we're weird. We're not wearing all different colors in our hair and eyelashes 50 feet long, you know? The world, the society is truly, if you're not in that club, I'm telling you, You're an outcast, see? See, we're the outcast now.
That's right.
You know, and another thing they say now is, what do they call it? They say, oh, evil is good and good is evil. Wait a minute.
That's right.
How can evil be good when, first of all, evil is just evil? Evil is just evil, brothers and sisters. First of all, people that's evil don't like good. They don't like me.
That's
they don't
right.
like you. If you walk away, me and my sisters, and we laugh at this all the time, we walk into places, and people, it's just like we're a celebrity. And people just stop. They stop talking. They're just looking at us. It's the spirit of Yah. It's not us.
Praise God.
It's the spirit. And they just looking at us and like, you know, oh, my God. You know, and I'm going to tell you why, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you exactly why they're looking at you. Because that light in you is convicting them of their sins. It's x-raying them. And they're all nervous because they wonder, oh, do they know what I'm doing? Do they know what I'm doing? No, we don't know unless the Most High show us or tell us. But we just trying to go in there and get some potato chips. We ain't thinking about y'all. But they but they are. You see what I'm saying? They're, but you know what that is?
Yeah, that can be convicted.
Yeah. Thank you. That's him convicting them because he loves them. He doesn't want them to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But they take it the wrong way, and they start attacking us.
Yeah, they
you
do.
Know? And
I wanted
then
to,
I just,
to say one.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get in there,
say,
and you know.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. We both
okay,
said it.
Okay, 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test
That's
the spirits to see whether they are from Yah, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, this is the last one I'm going to read right here, and this is Acts 20:29-31. Now, this was Paul's last words to the Ephesian elders because, you know, he knows he's going to pass on now. He's leaving this earth for them, right? And then he says, "When he met with them for a farewell on the beach near Miletus, included a somber warning about the inevitable false teachers." Now, this was thousands of years ago, brothers and sisters. Here is Shaul, who they call Paul. He's warning people way back then. And it says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, therefore be on alert." Now there you got
See?
It right there.
There you go. That's the just the point of the false doctrine. Okay. You know, Paul was
that's it all right there.
he was literally a strong man of the Most High. He had a lot of wisdom, you know. And he might have started on one side of the track, but I can see why God chose him, you know, because
know,
he knew how to
know,
stand up and speak up for the Most High, you know. And so that's really where, you know, the church, you know, is in bad shape because they let all God's people go. You know, nobody's there to really hold him accountable for anything, my friends. And, you know, the other thing the Most High, and I wanted to say this when she was, you were talking about how you went into the store and the person wanted to attack you. Well, the thing is God ordained it your time and your feet to that store. And that person might have, you might have been the last person that could have shared or shed the truth and light on that person's life, you know. And so a lot of times people get really intimidated when they see a child of God coming in, or they feel the presence, because it's really the presence of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God comes in. And then they get worried because they know they're in sin, you know? They know they're doing things wrong, okay? And so what they do, they focus is more, you know, because they can't see the Holy Spirit inside, so they think it's you. They'll start following you around the store, trying to, you know, build something up on you, so you can leave, you know. And I've seen them do this, and that's the same tactic that the church does. As soon as they feel the presence or the conviction of Christ, they start trying to build something up against the true believer, you know, the person who has been called to do a great work, been sent to that church to be pretty much an eyes for them, ears for them, because with fear and a prophet, our eyes is what God used, and our ears is what God used, and our emotions and the movement and the vibe that he's showing us that's coming along the church. And we talked about this in some of the prior episodes. So I want you guys who have not heard those messages, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to episode 1-5 because we're now at 5 now. And so also the last thing we're going to talk about is, I think we're getting ready to close out because we're running with time today, but the Most High revealed to me, he said, and it was really the Holy Spirit too, you know, he said, you know, Satan is the leader. He's the leader of the church now. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what the man said. He's the one up there giving the message. He's the one giving the message. You can feel comfortable to sin, but God will forgive you, but you go right on ahead and keep sinning, okay? Because he knows that sin, the wages of sin is death. And that's the doctrine he is hiding from God's people.
That's
and right. And so I just pray that you, our friends and listeners, will open your eyes and see and began to stop playing with what you're seeing. You know, the Bible said, and we talked about this last week, friends, is that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, as
that
well as
so
a bad
true.
Tree cannot bear good fruit. God
That's
has
right.
been very strategic with his word, through his
That's
word,
right.
how to speak and how to address issues within the church, and how to speak and address issues with man, and how to also see his word be performed right before you. If you see that your man or woman of God, or you've had that experience, was not living a righteous life before the Lord, was doing a lot of the things that we spoke earlier about, then you already know that was not a good fruit. Why would God talk even and bring the metaphor of a fruit? A good fruit has the potential to taste good, okay? There is no bitterness in that fruit. When I bite into that fruit, I'm expecting to get good things for my body out of that fruit.
Right.
But the same thing happens, my friend, when you bite into a bad fruit, okay? You're going to get that same thing that's in that, or that seed that was planted in that fruit, it's going to go into your body.
Right. That's right.
And it's going to be
that's
bad.
Right.
It's not going to be good for you. So they've been planting seeds in God's people through these false doctrines.
Right. Right,
and
right.
we want you, our friends and listeners, to do what the Bible says. But those who have eyes to see and those who have ears to hear, we are so grateful. Before we leave, did you want to say anything else before we go, sis?
Yes, I did want to say that when you were talking about the tree, it says right here, because she knows I love the Psalms right here, so it's like the Psalms in the scriptures, right, you know? And the reason why I love it so much, because it's a promise. You know, it's not
Praise
no mistake
God.
That the Holy Spirit put it the first Psalms. It wasn't the second, wasn't the third.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first one. And it says, blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his or her delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and his Torah do we meditate day and night. And we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in our season. Excuse me. Our leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever we do, brothers and sisters, in righteousness, it shall prosper. But now this is the
That's
part
right.
I love. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So that means if you're sitting in a church, that's not, as my sister been trying to convey this whole hour or so, over an hour now, you can be sitting in a church and be sitting among the scornful, the ungodly, the unrighteous. These people don't love God. They turn their back on him. They are doing all this evil. And the last thing I do want to say for sure is I remember I wanted to get a tattoo, right? And I was in love with this guy, and I wanted to get his name on my body, right? And so the most I was just sitting there in my living room. My children were little small types at that time. And he said, you ain't supposed to be getting no tattoo on you. And I swear I opened the Bible right to where it says we are not supposed to be marking our bodies, you know.
That's right.
And so I was like, wow, this is amazing, because I never heard no teacher or pastor or minister tell me that. And so what he told me was, he said, now, let me tell you this. If you do it anyway after you know it and you do it anyway, then I'm really going to hold you accountable for it. So he said, if you get that tattoo, then you are going to be in trouble, because I've warned you.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I found out so much
That's
about
right.
those things. Man, I'm telling you, you don't never want to get one of those. It's more deeper. It's deeper than a mark on your body. It is so much deeper than what people know. But he spoke to me clearly, and I heard him. Had I not obeyed mm-hmm. him, I don't know what the consequences would have been. You see what I'm saying? So when we didn't
yeah.
know, me and my sister, we was out there. We loved the Creator. Mm-hmm. We was looking for him, but he found us. He found us
mm-hmm.
through his Holy Spirit. He reeled
mm-hmm.
us in. So if you truly belong
mm-hmm.
to Yah, he's come. He's here today. He's telling you, come
That's
back
right.
home to me. I'm
Thank
your dad.
You.
I am
Praise
your
God.
Creator. And there is no
yes.
one else like me. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? I just want to end on, before I go and we leave the studio, I want to say this. The one thing that touched me with the man's testimony, he said, if he would have died in that time, in that season of his sin, he knew he would have went to hell. And you know
mm-hmm.
what? Many of us can say the same thing. It is a righteous God who bailed us out of the internal fires
oh, yes.
of hell.
Thank you, Father.
Mm. And so what I'm mm-hmm. going to say is thank you, Father, for looking down on your holy people and bringing them out of destruction. And I want to pray,
yes.
too, that the leaders and those who are held captive or who are now starting, hopefully, to come to their senses if they can,
yes.
I pray that, Father God, you would spare them as well, as you have called us out of the church as well. And you have been teaching us the ways we should go. And that's what my sister was saying. He taught her. He told her. He stopped her right in her track. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do with this temple. This is my temple. So I pray that, you know, those who have tuned in today or will catch the replay, I pray that this message would be a blessing to you. I thank you for joining us today and coming out and hearing. I'm sorry that we had some problems with the timing of the show, and we will try to work those kinks out too, and as well as the audio so that you could have heard more of his testimony. I also, too, want to point you back to his YouTube channel, and it is called Glass House TV. And also, too, we are moving forward on other platforms, which we will be addressing those too and sharing that information with you. So we want you to go to our homepage here on Blog Talk and click follow. That's how you're going to be able to see our videos, because we do make short videos and talk about different topics. We really want God's people to be aware. God has sent us here to help set the captive free. And that is our mission here.
Right.
Send forth your word.
Yes.
We thank you so much, friends and listeners. If you, our friends and listeners, would like spiritual coaching, we ask that you send us an email so that we can try to book a session with you. If you are a new believer here and you have heard what you heard today and you like what you heard and you believe that you are in need of this Savior that we've been talking about, we pray that you would send us an email or send us a comment on our show so we can reach out to you and pray with you, our friend. And also, too, for those who have been tuning into the episode, we're just excited that you followed us all the way through every series. We're happy that you've been tuning
yeah.
in, whether it's through the time that the show is live or it's on your own time. But we just encourage you to take the time and listen and do a replay on all the episodes. They are so informative. We want to thank you for coming back to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. We look forward to seeing you next time. If you want to send us an email, we ask that you send your email to sendforthyourword@gmail.com. Until next time, everyone, we thank you for coming to our show. May God continue to bless you and yours is our prayer. Amen.